What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, National Honor Society for Sports Medicine. We are talking with Eli Halleck and Catherine Marr. Kat Marr just started up in NHSSM at her school, and so we're going to get her input. But specifically, we're talking about the club, which is not the National Honor Society, but it's a group for people who might not academically meet it or who are not in the courses. And then also the national exam, which is similar to the old BOC that has a written and a practical portion. And Eli has started up that there. So if you want to be part of one of those, challenge your kids, help them grow, see where they rank nationally, then listen in, enjoy our conversation with Kat Marr and Eli. Thanks for being part of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. All right. So Eli, the club was the next thing I wanted to talk about. And tell me about the club, the differentiation, the qualifications for that.
So for years now, several of our chapters have discussed about or really pushed us to try and create a club and association for other members. Like you said, Jeremy, not everybody is academically eligible. And that created a unique situation here at my school probably about 10 years ago. About 5 years ago, where we had no one academically eligible for the NHSSM. And I stood there and went, well, it is what it is, because we have some very hard classes at this institution. But then I sat there, and as I thought about it and I talked with other colleagues, I realized there had to be a way that we could create something that would benefit everyone. Our focus originally was just purely academics when we sat down. And as this has evolved, we realized we all had a club because, as Kat said, we have those students that bust their hump and they work hard. And maybe they're not good in Spanish. Maybe they're not good in English. Maybe they're not good in math. I mean, if we were all good in all of it, we'd be all doctors. So, God forbid, I'd never want to do that. But yeah, if that was the case, we'd be something else. So we realized we had to create something. And after being pushed and prodded by our colleagues at really Washington State, their vocational institution up there, who we've worked with so closely over the last 5 years, really kept pushing and prodding and hearing from other institutions, Klein Collins, one of them, Boise School District up in Idaho, speaking with some colleagues in New York that were talking about starting up chapters there in North Carolina. We just decided a year and a half ago, we got to do something. So we sat down and looked at it and went, the big key is we have students that end up in healthcare that were never in the Honor Society. They were in our special little sports med club that we created to keep them involved. They need something for recognition also. So we took the last year and a half to develop a second organization. So we have two arms now. We have the Honor Society, and then we have the National High School Sports Medicine Association, which is really a club for anyone. And what we've already seen, because several of us have kind of been doing it already for about 2-3 years, we made it official in May of this past year. We ratified and changed the Constitution, adopted the National Honor Society Sports Medicine Association guidelines, and ratified them in August, I believe, and pushed them out to all chapters. We've basically created a second arm, and it's something we're already doing also. But this is for the students that aren't academically eligible, but still want to be part of it. And what we've already seen, because the difference is you just have to be eligible for school, and you just have to participate in your sports medicine entity at your school and show interest and work hard and everything that Kat has talked about and that you and I deal with on a day-to-day basis. We have got some of our best students out of our club over the years, not necessarily our honor society, because these are the kids that are driven. They found their niche. And when they get into college and they can specialize in those healthcare sports medicine classes, they excel. So it was kind of, it took us a little while to do it. But it was created and established in August. What we've already seen in those of us that have been running it is a vast increase in interest in our program. And as Kat was talking about, it kind of scares me. Because what I'm seeing now are freshmen and sophomores that never have been involved going, hey, this sports medicine thing is something I'm truly interested in. So we're creating a foundation, because unlike Texas and Washington, California does not have a curriculum set in their educational process, unfortunately. So many other states do not either. So it gives us kind of a foundation to pull from, and a pool of students that become interested at a young age develop more and more classes. For example, here at St. Francis High School, we've had two classes in the program for 10 years. When we started this special interest 3 years ago, all of a sudden we had a third class pop up, which gave me the opportunity to hire a second athletic trainer. And I firmly believe that as this program has developed, we're up to just the club alone has over 120 students.
Wow.
Our program, each class has between their volunteers, which we have 20, what we call second year volunteers, and then our 30 kids per class, we have nearly 200 kids in our, young adults in our program. We only have 650 students at our school. We have a third of the school in our sports medicine program in one way, shape, or form. So I really see this association as a way to drive potentially the future of our profession at a high school, because now what you're seeing is the need. Thank you, gentlemen. You're seeing a need for more classes, which can't be put on Kat or myself. You know, we're going to have to bring in a second one. Next thing you're going to see in it, and we're seeing it in several different institutions, they're bringing someone that just teaches in, and they're bringing in the athletic trainer in charge, athletic trainer just in charge of a clinical. So almost like a ATEP program at a university, and then the clinical athletic training room at a university, so that both athletic trainers are working in conjunction for the benefit of the high school student. So we're already starting to see the evolution at the high school level of educational separation because of workload. But again, that means now you have two, maybe three athletic trainers at a high school. That's not bad. That's a good thing. So we've had schools that started this and are already at six classes, fully loaded. And they're talking about, well, we don't just need one athletic trainer. We might need another. So we might need two more athletic trainers to help with the situation. We never intended that, but it's kind of been happening. So it's kind of cool.
I just had that conversation with my principal, Mr. Kirk, today, as a matter of fact, because I'm going to be solo. So I'll be the only athletic trainer at Klein Collins. Ugh. So, yeah, it is what it is. So, you know, in Kat's perfect world, and I've been working towards it for about 4 years, building up the class so much, the demand so much, and we're cutting over 100 kids every fall that can't be in the courses, their elective courses, trying to get a licensed athletic trainer who has a TSATA certificate that can teach sports medicine 1, 2, and 3, because I can field 6 courses. I can, you know, and then just like Eli was saying, the buzz, everybody wanting to take it, hopefully additional, maybe 2 people that to teach and get us from the educational model into the medical model, getting myself out of the classroom and or the other athletic trainer, and then having 1 or 2 licensed athletic trainers on campus that just teach. That would be perfect. So when he said that, I was fingers crossed. And of course, we have a large population. Just like Jeremy, I can't even imagine a third of our population being in the club. But again, that's something to look forward to. If you can get your student athletes, Jeremy, in the club, you know, work around the athletic practice schedule, that might also help booster that. You know, more students involved, the more positive, just like, you know, Chris Shattuck and Scott Galloway was saying in previous, the more that we can put that positivity out there in our profession, then maybe we can move towards the medical model and increase our staff members. At a big 6A high school, it's not unthinkable to have 3 licensed athletic trainers for the athletic training room and then 1 or 2 licensed athletic trainers to teach. But I'm just dreaming now, so dreaming out loud. But that might happen. I would like to hear a little bit more, though. Maybe I'm jumping ahead on you. Regarding the sports medicine national exam that maybe the student athletic trainers, that's kind of my second on my to-do list. either this spring or next year to try to go and participate in. How does that look? How can one program like myself and or Jeremy, even though he doesn't have the club or the National Honor Society, how can we get some of the Texas high school athletic trainers and their student athletic trainers and or course members to be able to take that National High School Sports Medicine exam? Is that the same as the HOSA exam, or is that different? What does that look like?
Well, along with the association, along with the high school sports medicine, National High School Sports Medicine Association, along with the Honor Society, far before that, we also created a couple other things here. I don't find myself with enough things to do, apparently, according to my wife. We started a local, in response to a problem we had with HOSA here in California. We created a sports medicine competition locally in 2002. Every year it's gotten a little bit bigger. Currently our average is about 600, 650 high school students from anywhere from 30 to 42 schools every year that show up at our campus and compete in an academic biathlon. And it's called the St. Francis High School Sports Medicine Competition. Now, after we started that, after several years, we connected with, probably in 2004, 2005, connected with the state of Washington and their vocational program, who had started a similar competition a couple years prior. And we found out we had so much in common in how we thought, what we did. It's been fun to go back and forth the last few years. But everyone always wanted a national. One issue we've always had with the HOSA events is it's not sports medicine related. I mean, my favorite question ever was, you have a patient that is bouncing on a trampoline and falls. What do you do? And we sat there going, you got to be kidding me. Who writes these questions? Where are you? And if you look at it, they take from, and I'm just being factual. They take from one book, the state of California, all the questions. And it's an okay book for high school, but I believe we can push high school students much harder than most educators think. I think many of our high school students can rival some athletic training first semester students educationally when they come out of our programs. And I've proven it, which is always fun to do. But clinically, they don't have the skill, and we know that. So we created an academic biathlon, and it's a written exam, kind of like the old written exam for the NATA BOC, and then a practical exam, also similar to the old NATA BOC practical. They do 100 to 150 questions written. They will have five skills that they must prove with an area of emphasis. And then in the clinical setting, those five questions, one is going to be a emergency medical procedure, a couple palpations, special test, range of motion question, and then they're given a list of five taping procedures, and they will be asked to administer one of them. Each thing is timed, each thing is graded by a judge, and then we hand out prizes at the end. Over the years of doing that, I kept being pushed, do a national. We couldn't figure out how to do it. It's just cost prohibitive. Educationally, as we said, I mean, it's hard to come up with $50 for a chapter fee, let alone flying people in for a competition and creating, you know, an event. One of my dear colleagues who was working on it figured it would cost at least $20,000 a year to run it. That was his estimate, and that's what he gave his sponsors, and the sponsors went, yeah, we ain't doing that. So fortunately, I was walking through our campus one day, still contemplating this issue as always, and bumped into a dear colleague of mine who runs the academic decathlon. And for the second time in a row, our team had qualified for nationals. So I'm walking and we're talking. I'm like, hey, this is great. When do you guys leave? I know it soon. He's like, oh, I'm leaving now. Oh, fantastic. Where are you going? He's like, right here. And he turns left and goes into the computer lab. I'm like, Dirk, what are you doing? He's like, little unknown fact, small schools, we don't get fly to Washington. We compete online. And I paused and looked at him. I'm like, well, if online's good enough for the academic national decathlon, holy moly, we just figured it out. So I aligned with an organization that all they do is computer testing for school districts. and we created the national exam. And it is a very similar to the old NATA BOC exam in that it is a 300 question online test administered to students over the course of, we give it a window of 5 days generally. And it is a comprehensive exam. It tests every ATC that comes up with these questions. We have a panel of 8 judges that comes up with the questions. We spin them, we throw them in the test bank. We have an AT look at it. And they usually look at us and go, thank God I'm not sitting for the boards right now. Cause it's very comprehensive. The top 10 finalists in each division are then asked to compete in a online live practical via FaceTime, Skype, or Google Hangouts now. And they are judged by a judge. Last year we had several judges. One was based out of Fort Worth, and a couple based out of Washington, California, and Nevada. And they will dial up and coordinate with the AT to do the practicals via online. Now, in order to get to that avenue, you must compete at a state or regional competition. We do allow students that have qualified through HOSA to compete at our national. And what we've heard from students, or actually the student athletic or the athletic trainers through their students, is they like our setting and setup because it's more of an athletic training profession. It's not a little bit of nursing, a little bit of EMT, a little bit of paramedic. It is sports medicine specific. And that's the feedback I get every year is they like this because it's athletic training, sports medicine specific. It's not nursing. That's usually the quote. So if a school has competed, they end up in the top 10 in their division or in their competition, they're eligible for nationals. Now, there are some schools, for example, we came across a couple schools in Michigan and a school in, I believe it was Wisconsin, that had no regional or state competition.
That was going to be my question.
So the computer company that runs the competition looked at me and Eli, we've got a school that just contacted us. They're in Michigan. They're by themselves. They're in a rural setting, nowhere to go. And I looked at them. I'm like, well, why not do an online regional for them? So we created a set, you know, because again, we don't have enough to do. We created a online regional for schools that just can't get to another competition. So that way we kept the ethical conundrum of having to qualify to get to nationals there. So we had 4 schools do the online Eastern Regional last year, which technically allowed them to advance to national. Now, when anything starts small, sooner or later it's going to get big. So when there are 12 schools, you know 2 will not be attending. We have 44 schools compete last year at the California. You knew there are schools that will not make it to nationals. So as things evolve and get bigger, they become more competitive. And that's been really fun to see. Now, in Texas, though, I have helped another school, another entity, but I believe it's really far from you, Muleshoe, Texas. My buddy in Muleshoe, Texas, who Josh Woolbright. Yeah. I always want to say Woodall, but he's not the Woodalls. He's Woolbright.
They're in Bryan, Texas.
Yes, they're in Bryan. Josh Woolbright, I helped him create a competition in Muleshoe, and I've helped schools start in Nevada, Idaho. They're doing one in in Kansas now. So we've helped schools actually create competitions so that they can compete. And then if those students want to compete at nationals, now they're eligible. But not all schools are eligible or have the time to create the competition. And that's why we created the online regionals.
Can you speak a little bit about what Muleshoe is doing? Because they came to GHATS. They traveled all the way down to Texas. They're in Texas. From the Panhandle all the way down to Greater Houston a year before last. So that was, he definitely got the farthest traveled for our student athletic trainer workshop. But we don't really, is there any other competition in the state of Texas, like up in Bryan with Jamie and Josh?
To my knowledge at this point, no. Now, Josh Wilbright left for a real good position a year and a half ago. And a dear friend of his, Sarah Bolt, we screw up her last name. Give me a second. Sarah Balk. Yes, Sarah Balk out of Hereford took the reins. Yeah, sorry, California guy. She pulled up the reins, and she is now running the competition out of her high school. So they do have one. Logistically, it's kind of like California. Texas is a big state, just like Cali. And, you know, it takes you a few hours possibly to get to that school. So they were trying to do also an online component. excuse me. I don't remember if they were able to do that last year, but she had several schools compete at her competition last year. However, you know, if that's something that Kat is interested in starting, I can always help show you how simple it is to actually start a regional, or help you guys look into the online regional that's run by the National Association.
I am very interested in that, as if I didn't have enough to do. maybe after the NATA Houston conference, I would be extremely, but I know as far as Greater Houston Athletic Trainers Society, we do have a quiz bowl, a 16-team bracket that is, in my opinion, the Mark Salter Quiz Bowl is fantastic. So Randy Dugas is the chair for that competition. And we actually put that on in the confines of the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Student Athletic Trainer Workshop. So something that maybe the courses or the student athletic trainers can do online would probably be more beneficial for us, because I mean, it's very difficult to get away to go to the SATA workshop in and of itself. The one Saturday, last Saturday, with soccer and everything going on. So I would be very interested in the online, and I think that would be a great addition to our Greater Houston area. So if you're listening, Daniel Young, president of the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society now. Hint, hint, hint.
No pressure.
Yeah, that I think that would be awesome. Maybe as a precursor to getting into the Quiz Bowl. But yes, I would be very interested. And is there a way that our student athletic trainers, not just at my school, but like at Jeremy and all over, that can maybe do the regional, you said the Eastern Regional online. What is the prerequisite for that? Or can they just log on and go ahead and do that? You know, maybe not advance to the national, but as a just as something fun to do. Also, is there part two? Is there a study guide or something that we can help? Of course, we have our own curriculum here in Texas, but that may or may not line up with your tests, practicals, because we normally don't do the practicals until Sports Medicine 2/3. Three is all practical, independent study type course. So if we can have our Sports Medicine 1, maybe take it, or my student trainers, I'm thinking out loud, to take it to see where their education is, what we need to work on. How do we stack up against other schools in Texas that are taking that exam, or other students around the nation that are taking that exam? How are we doing educationally comparative to your students in California? But if you can talk to, you know, Joe Blow at XYZ Texas School, how can we, you know, get online to do that? What are the steps?
Well, you know, we ended up doing it a couple different ways over the last 3 years. We've done the regional, I think, for 3 years now. We've done national, I think, for six, if I remember correctly. We've actually had schools, like you said, that do not have a practical application. So what we've done is we've allowed them to do the regionals. If you don't do the practical, you're not eligible for your nationals. Now, but saying that, the way it works for nationals is individual and a team. So we've had a lot of students at different schools that educationally got it, but weren't far enough along to really do well. So it gave them kind of an idea. And in the long run, and this is also part of the process we never anticipated, it helped us in California with the state one really adjust our curriculum to what we saw were the needs of our students compared to what others were doing. And the same things happened at nationals. At the end of nationals, everybody gets the overall breakdown of each division, because it's kind of like the old NCAA. We've developed three different divisions: large school, medium school, small schools division, depending on your size. And then we also have the overall awards. But you could have a student at national or regional compete as an individual just to see how his or her educational year has gone. And you can see it and pull it back and look at it. You get the scores. If they do a practical, you get their scores on the practical to find out how they did, where they went wrong. But at the same time, a team itself. So say you have, you said you had 60 kids in your program. Is that correct?
Well, in my courses in sports medicine one, we have two sections of sports medicine one, 30 students in each section. Sports medicine two, I teach one section of that. I might have 15 kids.
So,
and then I have two sections of sports medicine three, but I wouldn't, most of those kids wouldn't. I have, 16 student athletic trainers plus a few extra. So we probably would be like, you know, 10 to 12
okay.
students.
So for the region, for the regionals, what we've done in the past is created basically a different tier. So we've had students that the teacher wanted to make eligible potentially for nationals. They would also do a practical. And the practical would be supplied to the athletic trainer on site. So for example, we would send you a practical grade sheet with instructions on what your students would have to do. And what we found is each practical is designed to take about 5 to 12 minutes, depending on how efficient your student is. If they are not interested in being eligible for nationals, then they just do the written exam, which then you just see how they're doing this year, their first year, and then the second year, they're eligible for the practical. And that's been a case-by-case situation. Most schools, they compete now. What we did do with one school, because she actually split time between three different high schools and taught at one location, we actually just elongated the written exam to make up for the practical, if that makes sense. Because there was no functional way for her to do the practical for her students, because as soon as class ended, depending on the day, decided what school she was at. So in that case, and this is something that might fall into your situation, we elongated the written exam to offset not being able to do the practical. And that made her students eligible for nationals also. Now, the regional exam, though, can be done by anybody, whether it's first, second, or third year. Our thought about the first, second, third year is we divide it up into two divisions. We call it currently rookie division, so your first year in a program, and then advanced is anything above a. So say you have a student that's second or third year in a program. When we look at his or her scores, they will only be compared against other students in a second or third year. So first year students only get compared to first year, and when we hand out awards, for individuals, they will only go up against the appropriate division. Now, schools themselves, if they're hoping to qualify for nationals, they can take out of their team, out of who competed, their top 15 students. Now, say you have a student that just tanked and he is 22nd. You get to create your own team. So you choose your top 15 individuals out of your potentially 20, 30, whatever, to compete at nationals. And then out of your top 15, when they compete at nationals, the top 8 scores out of that 15 count toward your team average. However, each student that competes is eligible for individual awards.
All right. Can we find the link for the national or regional exam, or do they just have to email you?
Actually, the national competition, you'll find at www.AACI, so American Academic Competition Institute, AACI Test, all one word, AACITest.com.
All right, AACITest.com.
Yeah, or you can email me.
Or email you. And then the National Honor Society for Sports Medicine is NHSSM.org. I have those linked there in the show notes. They'll be in the description whenever we have all this posted. So
it's when is the test?
When is the national? The national is usually...
the first step.
No problem. Regionals, we usually offer 1 to 2 dates in April. They haven't been set yet. We always, because it depends on where the schools are doing spring breaks and other events are going on in April. But excuse me, we usually do one, one towards the end of April, one towards the middle of April. And we'll tailor them a little bit towards the schools and their interests.
Okay, so April.
April, that's the open date.
All right, Eli, we just talked about if someone wants to get more information, they can contact you, email you. What's the best way to contact you?
Let's give you 2 emails. They all work, but it depends on the server that's working, which one I get. So my first name, Eli, at nhssm.org. That is always a good one. That follows me. We usually don't have many problems with that Google account. We're a legitimate IRS 301 C nonprofit. So we use Google's kind enough to take care of all nonprofits. So Eli at nhssm.org is always a good email. My work email is always when the server's up, really good. And that is, got to be realistic. Ehallick, at the initials of the high school I work at sfhs.net. So St. Francis High School, sfhs.net.
All right. Social media?
Social media. We've got a few things going. We've got, I'm so-so on Twitter. I'll be honest. I'm not that good at it.
All right. Well, then we'll just send them to email. That's the best way to get hold of you.
Facebook. We have our NHSSM Facebook page. And we also have a St. Francis High School Sports Medicine page. And it's St. Francis High School Sports Med, all one word. And then NHSSM, I believe it's NHSSM for the Facebook. And we post a lot of information. Or as our events come up, we have our annual Staples Center event coming up. We're actually branching out this year and doing one in North Carolina. We're hoping to talk with our colleague. We've been in discussion with helping our colleagues in Kansas do one in Kansas with the Kansas City soccer team. So we're doing one with the Charlotte Hornets this year. We have been doing one with the Golden State Warriors. Unfortunately, their prices increased as they purchased Kevin Durant's contract. So we had to step away from them.
All right, Kat, someone wants to get a hold of you. Best way to do that?
Klein Collins High School. You can reach me in the athletic training room, 832-484-5170. Of course, my school email, CMARR with the number 2, so CMR2 at Klein, KLEINISD.net. Or, of course, my Yahoo, Kat, CAT, underscore, MAR, MARR, at yahoo.com.
All right. This was a great conversation today with Eli Hallett, Kat Marr, about the National Honor Society for Sports Medicine. A great opportunity for you to gain school board recognition, community recognition for the work, but also a great opportunity for kids to belong, to be a part of something, to be involved, and to get some recognition that which they normally wouldn't. So these are hardworking kids. We know that. We are athletic trainers. And this is an opportunity for us to make their work with us a little bit more valuable. So contact Eli, contact Kat, find out more about this, or visit the website, which again is nhssm.org, and try and get involved, try and do that. And if it doesn't work for you, then that's okay, but tell somebody else about it. Maybe you got a friend or a buddy that does have this situation and can make this work, and so just help them along. And Eli is obviously a very helpful resource. He's got lots of time on his hands because he doesn't have anything else going on, apparently. So
nothing at all.
Again, if you want to reach him, hit up his email, which is in the show notes here, or it's eli@nhssm.org. It's also on that webpage. So if you just remember the National Honor Sports or Society for Sports Medicine, nhssm.org, it'll have his contact information, the best way to get a hold of him from there. So I am Jeremy Jackson for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Don't want to forget to tell you about the new association with MedBridge. So you can use the SMB is your promo code if you're doing MedBridge education, MedBridge online learning for your CEUs. Check that out. Again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Eli, Kat, and for Jeremy, that is a wrap.